Hello and welcome to the Going Somewhere podcast. I'm your host Gabriel Maylard, and as ever we're talking about emotional, physical and spiritual journeys. With me right now, in spirit I suppose, is my producer James Morgan. Hello.
Hello. Hello Gabriel, how are we?
Yeah, not too bad mate, not too bad. How are you?
Not bad, surviving.
Yeah, just about. Still in the land of pasties.
Still in the land of pasties, that's it.
I've been trying to get hold of you for a while now, but signal down there is a bit...
Well, there's one mast.
Bit suspect, isn't it?
Yeah, there's one mast on a hill, and we all have to gather around it. Signal.
So. Yeah, just point your phones up in the air. Shake vigorously.
It's quite a social do here. You know, they bring pasties, ale... And we all just sort of sit around and text our family. Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, this week's podcast, we have George Yao, or Jorge Yao, as some may know him. International superstar, celebrity of the mobile gaming world. Yeah, Clash of Clans hero. If you listen to the podcast, you probably heard of him. We will dive into that interview in a bit. But in the meantime, what is there for us to say? You're my producer. You're meant to be reminding me of things here.
Well,
what have we got to plug?
I mean, at the moment, you know, we're building our audience, aren't we? We're trying to build the brand. We've got ideas for the video stuff. I believe you just purchased your camera today, have you? The equipment that we're going to be using. Yeah, it's going to get interesting. It's going to get to that crescendo point soon where we're busy.
We're actually going somewhere.
Literally going somewhere.
I mean, the last three or four episodes, well, I suppose since the start of the season, it's just been
England. You in London
hanging
getting
around going, yeah, basically. But we have just set up, haven't we? We've just set up the Facebook. So we now have Facebook at Going Shows on Facebook. Facebook.com/Going Shows. It's the same on Twitter and Instagram at Going Shows. So there's your three social media plugs. Besides that...
Well, yeah. Besides that, we've got the sponsorship.
I think the
single sponsorship from Mind Garden that we're building on, and then
yeah.
I mean, I'm
where
just
can
looking...
we find Mind Garden? By the way, the website's just launched, hasn't it?
The website has just launched. Yes. MindGardenApparel.com. Yeah, there's not much stock there. It's all limited edition. So you know, if you fancy a crazy tee. Then check it out.
A Crazy T.
Yeah.
I think he's a grime artist, Crazy T. Anyway, we are going to go into it. We're going to go into the interview with George Yao. He's great. He's amazing. He is a top guy.
I'm really looking forward to hearing it. I mean, I can imagine we've got a friend, haven't we, Dan? And he's addicted to Clash of Clans. I can imagine he was, you know, slightly jealous.
Oh, he was.
Famous George Yao.
No, exactly. We do go into this in the interview. Just before we get started, I was going to say it's been about 2 weeks from the last one. It's because we've both been ridiculously busy. Lives do happen. And we're going to aim to be getting the podcast out every 2 weeks from now. Obviously, as we've discussed, the videos will come and eventually there'll be a website, there'll be blogs, there'll be everything, all the media goodness. But in the meantime, we are going to go straight to George Yao. So here is George after this.
Mind my garden. It's my mind garden. I'm growing t-shirts. I just so happen to have cropped some. Would you like one? They're fresh.
Ah, ich bin mein Garten.
All right, George Yao, welcome to Going Somewhere.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
No, it's my pleasure, mate. My pleasure. I'm under the impression you had a big night last night.
It was decent. Yeah, it was our first office party in the new office, so it's
nice.
Pretty sick.
And that office is for Space Ape, right?
Correct, yeah.
You work for Space Ape at the moment?
Yeah, I work for Space Ape.
What do they do?
We make mobile games.
Yeah?
So think like, you know, Candy Crush, Clash of Clans, any of those. We make games like that in the App Store.
All right, have you got a big...
Google Store.
Too. A big game at the moment?
We have two games that are live right now. A third one that's about to launch, Transformers. Yeah. So that's going to be... probably our biggest game. Well, definitely our biggest game so far. So out of three, that's not bad.
Nice. And you also are part of Team Secret.
Yes.
Pro gaming team.
Brand, yeah.
Brand. You may be able to tell I'm not the biggest gamer in the world. Like Candy Crush is about where I sort of draw the line. FIFA. I'm good at FIFA.
Like, I mean, people play console games all the time, right? So it's like, most people don't consider themselves like a gamer until you just happen to... like go pro for some reason.
I don't know.
That's the way I look at it.
I get
it. A lot of it is practice, but I think a lot of it has to do with raw talent too. It's like some of those esports players.
You
just got to be naturally good at that game or whatever.
Like, I've got mates who are like that. A mate of mine, Brad, not with the computer games, but anything sort of sporty.
Yeah.
Like skateboarding. We went to a skate park once. He'd never skateboarded before. He went, oh, let me have a go. And just picked up a skateboard, started dropping into bowls. And you're like, come on, mate. It just makes people look bad. Like, by just being naturally
falling. Or like, oh, you're no, just like killing it.
Yeah, just killing it. Like, and you're like, come on. So I just wanted to kind of talk to you today about like travel and journeys and stuff. That's the kind of idea behind the podcast. And I was reading up about you. And let me see here. Look at my extensive notes on my waterproof notepad. Your parents emigrated from China over to America, right?
Yep.
And so, like... When was that? When was that for them in terms of how old were they when they
like
when came out?
30, 31.
Okay, and were you born at that point? Were you?
No. Yeah, because China has that one child law. So my brother was 2 when I was born. So yeah, they moved over here when they were like 30 or 31. And
okay.
Years later, they had me. So.
So they moved over because they had you.
No. Well, they had me because they moved over.
So
obviously they came here first because of education and like my dad was getting his PhD.
And
stuff like that. But then they just decided to have another kid and that was me.
Yeah.
Not like they moved here just to have me.
No.
I'm not that special.
Oh, don't put yourself down. Come on. So you grew up in what, Pennsylvania?
Not originally. So, born in South Dakota, which is like in the middle of nowhere. My dad studied at University of Michigan, so really cold, Midwest. Yeah. And then...
is that kind of...
That's like at an age where I don't even remember, probably.
Yeah.
Like, I vaguely remember
Just remember
it.
Being
I was
cold.
That young. Like, I vaguely remember it.
Yeah.
But my dad was like delivering Domino's pizza on his bike, like as a PhD student, just to pay for it and shit.
Nice.
It's like crazy stories, but yeah, I don't remember. I don't really remember any of it, so because I was too young.
Mm-hmm.
But then we moved to Philadelphia about forget what age. Maybe I was 12 at the time.
10. Yeah.
And then since then, pretty much just stayed there.
Yeah, I mean, what was it like growing up in Philly? Was it because it's cold in Philly as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it gets cold. Weather-wise, it's like it's different because like you'd have to shovel snow out, like you know, take your car out of snow every morning if it snows. So,
wow,
like right before work and stuff. So
that's sounds like a, sounds like a ball.
It's,
late,
it's kind
honest.
Of a bitch to do. You know, shovel it all off.
I mean, what's the? So you were there from. So let's say 12 until what, 18, 19,
20? I was there for quite a bit, like, because 18 graduated and then went to Penn State, so they're, so Pennsylvania State School. It wasn't Philly, but I was still in Pennsylvania, so.
Okay.
And then I moved to San Francisco, I think, when I was 23, I think. And I stayed there for like 3 years.
Nice. Well, I mean, what did you? What was the nightlife like in Philly?
Philly is
because I'm just it's, I'm literally it's just going always sunny in Philadelphia here. Like,
yeah, it's kind of similar to London in a lot of ways. Like, yeah. If you're going to compare it to like a place like New York or San Francisco, like there are clubs just like there are here, but like a lot of people are drinking the scene wise. It's like very pubsy, like.
Yeah. Doesn't go on too late.
Yeah, whereas like you go, well, and it's open on like weekdays and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Same with here, like people go like every day
to
the pub after work and just grab a pint or two or whatever.
Yeah.
And Philadelphia is kind of similar to that, more so than like San Francisco. Yeah, San Francisco is kind of like more party-ish, like they just go all out on weekends and stuff, but then during the week they just sit home and smoke pot probably.
That sounds
you know, like it's a little bit different, you know, but I like obviously San Francisco a little bit more just because they're a little bit the area is just way more laid back.
And I mean, I suppose there's more going on. If
it's just more progressive, like it's not it's not as like weather's decent, not the best either, but it's like you don't see snow. You get the like, same weather every day pretty much year round.
Yeah, that's kind of nice. Like, it's nice knowing what to expect.
Yeah, exactly.
I was cycling home yesterday and it was so cold, my hands were freezing to the handlebars. And
that's the worst.
Yeah, it's like probably should have brought some gloves but it's sunny in the daytime, like I
didn't expect that shit.
Yeah, exactly. So you went to San Francisco when you were 23.
Yes.
That was straight out of uni, yeah?
No, that wasn't straight out of uni. I lived in Pittsburgh for like about a year right out of uni.
Pittsburgh just sounds like, obviously I've never been and I'm not judging, but it sounds like an awful place just by the name.
Actually, there's my delivery.
Yeah, that'll be your, your Wagamama's.
My buddy was here. He's originally from Pittsburgh.
So George has just gone to get his Wagamamas.
They called me to tell me that my driver's going to be here in 10 minutes. All right.
Wow. Yeah, prepare for it.
I guess they're taking a while.
Possibly. Yeah. It does take a while to...
Make Japanese food and noodles. I mean, it takes a while to make noodles. In fairness, though, I did order a bunch of like detox juices and shit.
Yeah. You like get yourself ready for tonight.
Just need to hydrate.
Need to rehydrate. No, I get it. So you moved to San Francisco. You moved to Pittsburgh. What is it like? Because honestly, it's like in England we have Hull. It just sounds like a hole.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? It's like it's just got a name that sounds awful. But I mean, was it?
Yeah, for me, for my liking, it was pretty awful. But I mean, like, I like more people, bigger cities. Like, I don't know, just
metropolis.
I mean, like, Pittsburgh is a very it's a blue collar city, right? It's like a lot of steel mills and Steelers, right? So it's slightly different. Like, it's still a city, but it's like not. I don't really consider it a city. It's
just
I mean, you have like one main street that you go on.
Yeah,
that's where all the pubs are. You know? So that it's that kind of city where it's like, there are a lot of people living, I guess, around the city, but the city itself is not that.
Yeah, no, there's something really like in my mind. Just that's like that's a quite romantic side of America. I can imagine actually living there. You get bored of it pretty quickly.
Probably.
Yeah.
It is fun though. I mean, just getting to see it, like it was kind of new and stuff like that. So
yeah.
First out of college. Cause even college, you naturally like your friends are going to be the ones that, you just naturally click with. So it's like, everything's kind of still in your comfort zone.
To throw yourself out of your comfort zone is like, it's important. Yeah. It's like, I went to Manchester for uni and that was a little bit similar, just getting to know everyone and getting to know a whole new city. It was like, oh, okay, this is how stuff works here.
Yeah.
But so you lived in Pittsburgh for a bit and then you went to San Fran. And that is where you were the Clash of Clans longest consecutive number one ranked player.
Yep.
Yeah?
Yeah. That was probably year two of San Francisco.
Okay.
Year two, three.
So what was year one like before we sort of move on to
A lot of bottle service and clubs on weekends, basically.
Bottle service.
New city. You gotta, have fun.
Just a lot of drinking.
I was in finance at the time.
Yeah.
So just blowing a lot of money on weekends. It was fun, but like after a year of that, I'm just like, shit, what am I doing with my life?
Oh mate,
you're not meeting the right kind of people in those environments. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like.
Oh man,
so that's how shit, man, I'm kind of tired of this. And then I just randomly found Clash of Clans because I was browsing the app store. I was like, maybe I'll pick up a game or some bullshit. Like occupy my time.
It did occupy your time.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I read a New York Times article about what was it? I can't remember who wrote it actually. But he Man said by.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Well done. You've done more research than me. He said you dominated the game, leaving everyone else to catch up.
Yeah.
Is that about right?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
at one point, I had, 5 out of 10 top 10 counts in the world. I was playing on 5 of them.
Wow.
So it's like...
Yeah, a lot. A lot of work, though. Like,
a lot of time, yeah.
How is finance... Like balancing finance and
it was two jobs basically. You'd go to work 80 hours that week, probably be exhausted, and then come back and like play Clash.
Yeah.
The thing is, at the top levels, though, you're not really playing because it takes a while for, I don't know if you've like played it before, like the game mechanics of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But like at the top levels, it might take you maybe like an hour to find a match.
Okay.
And it's just like a magnifying glass searching for an opponent.
Oh, wow.
Because the other person has to be offline somewhere in the world to attack them.
Yeah.
So,
but at the most top people level, at the top level, no one's
if
offline.
You're number one, there's not many people that can get served to you.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
So most of the time, I'm just sitting there like, chilling, watching some TV shows I haven't seen that week, and just having that magnifying glass.
Yeah.
You're not really playing out of maybe every hour or so at that level.
Okay,
each,
that's interesting.
Each account, you probably have like 30 seconds, well, more than 30 seconds, probably like 2 minutes worth of gameplay.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. It's more just like a...
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Happens in the background,
yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not really, it doesn't even become a game anymore at that point.
No, I mean, it must get stressful to have, all these, as you say, all these things in the background, and just that thing in the back of your mind, constantly thinking, all right, at some point here, like you can't go out, you can't.
No, 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 yeah, yeah,
you can't plan.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you're totally conscious of like all that, but then at the end of the day, you're like, shit. I don't know. I think it's more so the people that you interact with, because like your clan members, I guess. Like over time, it's like, oh shit, I'm talking to some dude, and like,
yeah,
you know, halfway across the world, and.
Mm.
I don't know. Just something about like the social camaraderie part that really draws people in. That keeps it's still the number one grossing app game.
Yeah, no, I mean I've got a load of mates who play it. Yeah. For me it stresses me out. Like I've played it and I was like nah. It's the idea of at any time having to drop what you're doing and protect yourself.
Yeah.
I'm like, that is not a fun concept for me. Like, I'm already really busy. I don't want to have to be like... Because I've got mates who play it, not religiously, but we'll pretty much... You'll be in the pub having it like midway through a conversation and they'll just stop talking. Sorry, mate, 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you...
Sorry, this interview is over. I'm watching my game right now.
Yeah, so are you protecting your village? Come on, mate. Like, I don't care about your wizards. Just have a kind of conversation. But I suppose on the flip side, as you say, you're talking to people in Australia and, I suppose that's kind of other side of the world from where I am now. What's other side of the world from San Francisco?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
China.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, you're talking to people all over the globe and...
Yep. Amsterdam, like, a lot of, like, because they kind of get clicky too, right?
Yeah.
Different language chats, but then...
Yeah.
For some reason, like, a lot of them, they want to join, like, mostly American or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Clans and stuff. But they're pretty cool. Like, I've met some of them in person, actually.
Yeah.
One lives in Amsterdam. Yeah. And then, like, a few others too. One was in Mexico. He's, like, a diplomat in Mexico.
Yeah.
And I met him in when I visited LA and we stayed at the Roosevelt. So that was pretty cool.
Nice.
And we just like chilled.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was part of the clan for a long time.
Well, because I've got kind of like an old school, not really old school, but like a kind of, I suppose you could say an almost old school attitude towards games and stuff. Especially if, for me, it's online games that, I don't like the idea of having it always on.
Yeah.
It's like if I want to choose to play, then I'll do it. And I've got a load of mates who sit and play games. Some of them are game designers, actually. But who I'll find myself, even though I know it's a little bit wrong and it's the 21st century, so I'll find myself going, hey, put that down, come on, be serious, come outside, let's do some things.
Right.
But then on the flip side, you've met some of these people. Like you've met people online. yeah. and you've joined a clan or you've done whatever, and actually you've gone out to Amsterdam and chilled with people or been at the Roosevelt with some guy who you only know through.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's like a different level of gaming, right? There's some people that they have addictive personalities or something. Mm. And that's where you get the case of like the Korean girl, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And stuff like that. Like, you know, those are really sad cases. But, you know, for me or and any like mobile gamer, like, and like the people that I've met, we don't consider ourselves gamers at the end, like when we first started. We were like, okay, well, yeah, we used to play games when we were young. Yeah, you know, like Snake on your fucking Nokia. And like, you know, when PS1 came out and like PS and Xbox and all that stuff, like we all played it.
Yeah.
Like, but you don't consider yourself as like a gamer. You're just like, oh, I play Call of Duty sometimes.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. But and is it kind of just it spirals? Like you...
Well, I mean, it just like, for me at least, I was just at the right place at the right time. And then I came up with a strategy. So it wasn't like I was planning like, oh yeah, I'm going to be a professional gamer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there are people that do that, right? There are like camps that you can go to, but...
Wow, camps you can go to.
Well, yeah, like in Korea and China, they literally have boot camps for gaming.
Wow.
Right? Like big like dormitories where all they do is sleep and then they have cooks and stuff to make you food in between practice sessions. Yeah, they like breed these, because... Like, the prize pools are just getting bigger and bigger each year for these esports. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Last year, $18 million for the championship. Like, how many real sports do you know that make that have $18 million as their championship?
No, you're right. I mean, something like athletics is really... It's not... There's no money in it. Do you know? It's one of those ones you can get a job in it if you're at the very top level.
Yeah.
And you can make a nice bit of money. But $18 million, nah. I mean, you can win an Olympic medal and not get paid anywhere near that amount.
For clicking and knowing what to do,
like, yeah,
than the other team. But it is very interesting to watch. I was showing my buddy last night because we had Team Secret was playing to get into the upper bracket of the finals.
Yeah, this is the Shanghai finals,
Shanghai Major. So there's three majors before the actual final. So last year the $18 million TI5. This year's TI6.
Yeah,
6-1. But this is the first year they have majors leading up to it.
Okay.
Each major has a $3 million prize pool, so that's like not chump change, right?
Yeah,
for
a team
of five, $3 million for one competition.
Yeah, exactly.
Insane.
You can't.
And that's just leading up to...
We have
our third major in Manila. I don't think they announced the official date yet, but in June sometime.
Yeah.
And then TI6 will be in, I think, August.
Yeah. I think I'm in the wrong business, to be honest.
It's crazy though, because the average age of these kids, like they're literally kids, is like, once you hit like 23, you're already approaching like, okay, you need to start thinking about retiring. Because your reaction time gets so much slower, right?
Really?
So a lot of them, like, you know, it's the 19, 20 year old, the young guns, 21 year olds. I think Food's here. Hell yeah. But yes, it's those guys that are those kids that are just like, you know, sacrificing their high school or whatever
to
play games because they're just like so much better.
Nuts.
Like, the new generation is insane. Okay.
George. Alright, Wagga Mamas is actually here.
What's up?
No, nothing. So. Yeah, Wagamama's arrived. Good stuff.
It is good stuff.
We were talking about kids. Game with kids. They're all like, what? What's the kind of average age, would you say? 18?
Depends on what kind of gamer kid, right? Like, if you're talking about the esport ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're probably around like 18, I would say.
Wow.
Maybe a little bit older, but yeah, that's probably prime age. 18, 19-ish.
And they're winning millions of pounds and stuff.
Yeah, but you gotta think about it, right? I think out of all the kids their age, like...
Mm.
You know, you don't really get money unless you win tournaments, right? So, you know, five kids, like, you know, most of the time you're going to be staying together in one hotel room, like, because you can't afford basically a travel.
Yeah, no, I suppose. And you've got to think about the amount of work that goes into it as well.
Yeah.
Like, that is serious. That's the thing. Games are kind of designed to be fun, but I can imagine at that level, it gets to a point where...
I think if you do anything too much, I think you lose the fun out of it eventually, right?
I don't know. Sex is pretty solid.
You make a fair you make a very fair point there.
Yeah.
That's probably the only thing that I can think of. You're right. Touche on that one. That was a quick one too. I didn't think about that. I was like, wait, you're right.
Oh no, man, it's been on my mind. Don't worry.
That was clever.
I watch a lot of football, English football, not American football, soccer. So, at that, in that, in those kind of sports, you think people are retiring when they're like 32, and you're like, well, that's kind of young.
Yeah.
I mean, when you get people retiring in esports at, what, 20, 23, 24.
It's insane. But then what do you do after that, right, in esports? Like, so you have...
Yeah.
It's kind of like your extended 10 minutes of fame.
Because
like you get really good, you know, you have your prime years, maybe 1 or 2 years where maybe you win a couple championships, or not championships, but tournaments, sorry.
Yeah.
And maybe you win a championship. And then, so people know you and stuff like that. But then at one point, the dream ends, you know, you're going to have to either go back to school or try to make it as a commentator, like,
if
you're good enough, right? If your English is good enough, whatever, and you can commentate games, maybe do that. But
I mean, that's interesting as well when you think about your journey. Is it you kind of, would you accept that you kind of fell into Clash of Clans? Like, it obviously wasn't planned.
Yeah.
And you weren't practicing as such to get better at it, where you just kind of, it just snowballed, really.
Yeah. I was constantly trying to outsmart the game a bit. Like, think of ways to, I guess, maximize my efficiency. So.
But you came from uni. You lived out in Pittsburgh. You moved around a lot. And that was just on your own, was it? Just moving just to San Francisco on your own. No friends there.
Nope.
I mean, that's a big step.
Yeah.
And actually, what you've managed to do is was it 6 months you were top of the table?
6 to 8 months, yeah.
6 to 8 months, top of Clash of Clans. And you became this internet celebrity. You had your 15 minutes, as you say, your 10, 15 minutes.
Yep.
But it's interesting how, what you're doing now and how you moved on from that. Yeah. I would assume, and you can tell me if you know anyone who's like this or whatever, but I would assume as an 18-year-old who's only ever been playing games,
right,
after that period ends, you don't know what to do yourself.
Yeah, maybe you don't even want it. Maybe you're sick of it, right, by then?
But what else are you going to do if that's all you know?
Exactly. You have to go back to school.
Yeah.
That's it, basically.
I mean, what you did was you worked in finance while you were this sort of internet celebrity, and you had a real job, and you were doing things, maybe not at the time, but you had done things outside of Clash of Clans and outside of the gaming world. And so you left. What was the turning point? What was the turning point when you decided, I don't want to play this anymore.
I mean, yeah, good question. I mean, like, I didn't really have anything left in the game to do. Like, no one can catch me. I smashed. No one's going to ever be number one for that long straight. Mm. Like, so what's the difference between 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 months? Like,
yeah.
The point is, it's like 6 months is already enough. Like, so, like, I have nothing left to achieve. So.
But was it just that you felt, I'm not going to do any better, or was it a boredom thing, or was it more like...
It was more as a chore, really, to be honest. Like, it felt like, oh shit, I go home, it's like, oh shit, I got to make sure I'm online before my shield runs out or whatever, which is a part of the mechanic of the game. So yeah, it's like, it just felt like a job, you know what I mean, more than anything else.
Yeah,
so,
and I suppose when you're working...
I'm not really playing. Like, I'm actually playing other games while I'm playing Clash of Clans most of the time.
It's like, that's kind of meta.
I mean, that's a complete, like... Well, the meta is, like, the people, right? Like, you end up spending most of your time on your phone, and your iPad's just searching, and you're just, like, you're chatting it up with, like clan members from, like, across the world. And
And
see what they're doing. So, we all have these, like, group chats and shit, so...
Oh, yeah, no, of course. I can imagine... You sort of on what, TeamSpeak, is it?
Yeah, I have TeamSpeak. That's mainly Twitch though. When doing like those, like, the Twitch crowd uses it a lot, and then obviously like pro players, they use it to talk to you as well.
Yeah. But so you decided to give up. You decided, I don't want to say give up. That sounds.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I was like, I wasn't really giving up because there was no one even close. Like I said, so
yeah.
If I got threatened once, I think, while I was number one, and I think I lost number one for like half a day, 6 hours. And then after that, like I got back from work and I just gunned it, and then I never looked back.
Yeah, wow.
Smoked it, dude. Yeah.
So that was your one. That was your one sort of slip up. Your one. And did you make a conscious decision? Were you just like,
Yeah. My brother's my manager, and I was like, yeah, dude.
You just completely stepped up.
I told him, I was like, dude, I can't do this anymore. This is
yeah.
It's just, like, too much. Like, Because it drains your life, man. You can't do shit for a long period of time.
Yeah, yeah.
Your iPad needs to be on, at least searching, right? So you need Wi-Fi, you need whatever for a long period of time. Yeah. So you're just chilling, watching movies and shit.
Did you ever have any scary, like, Wi-Fi's gone down? Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Yeah, dude. When it's, like, thundering out and shit, Wi-Fi goes down, you're like, fuck! And then, like, you're like, yo, get on my 4G and start tethering. But it's like, you know, by the time you even set up the tether, like, you're being attacked. So you're like, shit. But generally speaking, though, San Francisco internet's pretty good. So
you don't really have to deal with
much of that. I had 5 iPads on 1 Wi-Fi plus like Apple TV.
Yeah.
And then I'd be usually like watching Netflix eating like salmon jerky.
That's decent. That's pretty good.
Dude, salmon jerky is no joke.
Salmon
jerky?
Salmon jerky.
You ever had it?
Never had.
It's so good, man.
Like I've had.
You got to try.
I've had like kind of an English equivalent of jerky, but I've never had proper like American.
Yeah, salmon jerky is hard to find. Though usually you just get the beef. Or whatever, but salmon's dope.
Was that a San Francisco thing or just?
No. Have you heard of Trader Joe's before? It's like a grocery store chain in the US, but they sell like organic, healthy food.
Okay.
And like from like small town growers. The big manufacturers. So.
No, that sounds good.
So yeah, I have like. Weird shit in there. Hippie groceries.
Hippie groceries.
Salmon jerky, man. Salmon jerky. Really
I'll remember it.
A lot of sodium, a lot of salt. But
yeah, well, of course. So, in money wise, I read that you spent, in total, you'd say you spent, what, $3,000 on the game? I think that
probably
was
more, way more than that. I lost track at that point because not only was I spending for my own account, but I was spending for my sponsor. So, like, I would be buying, like, all the gems and stuff for his account and my account, and then he would pay me back and stuff.
Wow. So, yeah, it got expensive.
Yeah, super expensive.
And we, at this point, like... Obviously, you're this massive... you're this internet celebrity. You're this Clash of Clans celebrity. Are you actually now spending your own money? What point did it take to sort of break even, if you like? Did you at any point have enough sponsors or enough...
Yeah, I mean... Oh, yeah. Sorry to interrupt. Yeah.
Nice, cool.
The money, like, at one point, I was like, man, what am I doing with myself? Like, I'm just tossing money at this virtual thing. Like,
yeah.
It makes no sense when you think about it. After a while, you're like, fuck, what, like, I just wasted all that money for what?
Exactly.
On my phone, it's digital, it's, like, made up.
Yeah.
But then, like, I ran into the sponsor, and that's where it kept me going. Because I would have quit at, like, 2 months. I was, already bitching to quit at, like, 2 and 3 months.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck this, I'm already number one, and it's been 3 months. Like, what more do I have to prove? You know, like, it's done. But then he came along and it's like, yo, if you play my account too, get it up to top five in the world and whatever. So I played his account and my account for like 3 months, but now he's the owner of Team Secret. So
that's nice.
That's how I, got with the organizations. Cause once Clash of Clans added, he decided to buy an esport team.
Nice. Yeah. So that's kind of, that's my next sort of point really is, It ended, and you released a sort of a thank you video, a farewell video to announce your
I don't think I did a video. I think I did an interview on YouTube. I did a couple. I think I did a series of 7 maybe on YouTube with Flammy, this guy named Flammy.
Yeah,
and then I did like a farewell speech on my Facebook, community fan page.
Okay, cool. And you
That was basically it.
Yeah, and you got your current job from that, yeah? Space Ape,
yep.
And that
they recruited me.
They were from London. Is that where your London journey started? Like,
yeah, I mean,
they just got in touch and said, we want you in London?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of an unbelievable story to hear when I, like, play it back in my head, you know? I'm like, what? That doesn't happen to normal people. But, they were actually tracking me since day one with Clash of Clans because they were making a game. They were going to plan to make a game called Samurai Siege, right?
Yeah.
Where they were already. And so they were like, okay, what's the best game this is like similar to Clash of Clans?
Yeah.
Obviously, I was kind of like an anomaly. Like, who knows of anyone else in mobile, like, gaming?
Yeah.
When you think of mobile gaming, you can't put like a
you think,
person
you
on.
Kind of think even of PC gaming, players, you
yeah, yeah. Even PC gaming, there's not really that many people you can like be like, oh yeah, this guy's definitely associated with like e-gaming, like the Mike Jordan of like basketball. Everyone knows who Mike Jordan is.
Yeah,
no one's gonna know, like, you know. But like in 5 years time, 10 years time, esports is going to be pretty huge, I think.
Oh mate, definitely. I was in Amsterdam. No, I wasn't in Amsterdam. Scratch that. I was.
Yeah.
But a different time.
Okay. I was, but...
yeah, that was a different time. I was in Copenhagen.
Yeah, okay.
And recently, and there was a... yeah, there was a massive, massive convention out there where I think it was a championships of some sort.
Where was
European.
This? Oh, in Amsterdam?
No, Copenhagen.
Oh.
Where was it? Can't remember the game now. Something about a quest, maybe.
No idea.
No, as I said, my gaming knowledge is pretty weak. But yeah, anyway, I know what you mean. It is going to be huge, and it's already getting to a point where people are sitting up and taking notice, and sponsors, and all the rest of that's coming into it. So you moved over to London, you got this job with Space Ape.
Yep.
And I mean, what do you do for them? What's your technical job title?
I'm a product owner of Samurai Siege. So okay. That's like one of our first games. So yeah, I'm a product owner on that. So I got my own team.
Mm.
You know, any sort of updates that we do, we always think of the players and get feedback from them, like what they want to see in the game and stuff.
Okay.
And then we balance that with, you know, what resources do we have to actually make it happen.
Yeah, yeah.
For some of the stuff that people like want in the game.
Yeah, yeah.
We could probably work a year on this and probably not do it. Implement what you want. So it's all about like...
Cool. What would happen, right? What are the chances of you, let's call it 2 years time, becoming the number one ranked Samurai Siege player in the world?
I was actually ranked number one at one point before I started with Space Ape.
Because
I was consulting with Space Ape before I got a full-time job with them.
Okay.
They didn't immediately offer me a job in London. Like, no. I was kind of like, this was like the in-between retirement / working. Like,
yeah.
So I was just working in finance all the time. And then they flew me out probably a couple months into my consultancy. So. Yeah. You know, I was contracted with them to basically provide advice and let them pick my brain as like a top player. Like, what would I want to see in a game? You know,
yeah.
So they could make their game, you know, better and unique, or people like me enjoy it. So.
Yeah.
So I started as that, but then I was like, you know, if there's an opening for full time, I know startups if they're doing well, you know, they'll start expanding. So I'll give it a shot, and they were like, of course we want you. So
yeah. So was getting to number one at Samurai Siege, was that a little bit of a, almost like a kind of CV, bang it on your CV, like, that's a tool to say, oh yeah, I like your game, yeah, I'm number one player right now, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Actually, at the time though, like, I knew I was just playing the game, like, I knew I could get to number one. I never actually did.
Yeah.
I actually got to number 10 pretty fast, and then I decided not to, because at the time, the game was still in beta, so it would only show the top 10 players. You can't scroll and see more than that. So it would just be like, oh,
wanted to get on the leaderboard just to sort of prove to yourself that you could.
Yeah. But, but then if people see like, oh, Jorge Yao is number one in this game now he currently works for the company.
Yeah.
That's just bad PR, you know? Clash of Clans, it got to the point where players... people would just think that I worked for Supercell and that's why I was number one for so long.
Well, yeah, I've read that people... I mean, it's the same with anything. There's always going to be haters. There's always going to be doubters. But I heard that, people were accusing you of cheating, accusing you of buying your way to the top. I suppose you kind of have to spend a lot of money to get to the top of these games.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to say that, like, okay, if you gave everyone... you know, X amount of money. There's probably some people out there that are good or better than you.
But they can't afford
to. But, like, it was more so the strategy or how I was just at the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
Could have been anyone else to come up with what I came up with, like, strategy-wise. It was just execution. Like, I just did it so well and was, always, like...
Always on it.
On point.
Always on it. Yeah,
you always have to be on point. But, yeah, I think that's the only difference. It wasn't anything else, really, whereas... You know, like with sports and stuff, like it just seems like you have to work a lot harder to it. Because I played sports, I played rugby back in school.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I played scrum half. I was captain too for in high school.
In high school, in America, you played rugby.
It's not big. No. We had enough schools in our district or our area to have like regular season playoffs and stuff like that.
Oh no, that's cool, man.
Play some sevens over the summer and stuff like that. Weather's nice. So. It's fun. I wasn't like a huge gamer. I was way more into like sports and stuff like that than anything else. So,
I feel like I feel like we've both talked about it, but that's the kind of key to general happiness and success in life is the variety.
Yeah.
I mean, you've, as you say, you were the captain of the rugby team. You're a pro gamer. I suppose you could call. Would you call yourself a pro gamer or a gaming celebrity?
Yeah, a gaming personality for
6 months. Yeah. Like a top gaming personality for 6 months.
Top gamer, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I mean,
probably better.
Your parents moved over from China. You lived in America. You're now living in London.
Yep.
It's that variety that keeps things ticking over and always having something new. Something new to explore, new avenues, and never burying your head. I mean, because you could probably still be Clash of Clans number one player right now.
I don't know about that, but yeah.
No, but I mean, like, if you would have kept going and kept going and kept going.
Well, that's the thing. It's like the game has massively changed since then, so it's actually harder to maintain number one. It's like virtually impossible to maintain it for more than like a week straight.
So you're not going to get beaten then?
Ever.
Well done.
Yeah,
well done.
So I retired at a good time where, you know, you know, you got to realize too that company like Supercell that made the game, you know, they don't want this kind of player behavior either. They weren't expecting it, so it's not their fault.
Yeah.
But
they
kind of use, I mean, I wouldn't say like 100% by 100%, but it'd be retarded for them not to observe my interactions with the game on a day-to-day basis, so they can know like, hey, what's this guy's player behavior and how is he gaming us, or how's he staying up top so long.
And they will introduce me.
So every update you would see little tweaks that try to cut my strategy, and then I would, you know, just
You must have been the bane of so many people's lives. Like, if I was sitting there playing Clash of Clans, just minding my own business with my mates and my crappy little clan and whatever, and you walked in and started trashing the place or whatever you said, I'd just be like, come on, man. Like, how am I ever going to reach... Like, obviously, the companies don't want people to just be like, I'm going to leave this game because I'm never going to be that good. Mm-hmm. So I suppose you've done some people some favours. But... we're kind of coming to the end now. What's next? What's next for you? You're working for Space Ape. You are just about to go to
Shanghai
to the majors.
Mm-hmm.
If you could do one job, play one game next, what would be the?
It's hard to say. You know, it's part of my job to play almost every game. You know, whatever kind of catches my eye or whatever, I'll at least give it a try. Then. At least in the App Store, if I'm like bored or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But so far, it hasn't really been any game recently that got me like super hooked. Destiny's probably the closest one.
Yeah.
Yeah, console, which is like people wouldn't expect. But yeah, Destiny probably. But I'm pretty endgame in that game now too, so it's like.
Yeah.
All right, so what's next? Like.
Okay.
Like a lot of people, you know, I used to play Call of Duty a lot too, so.
Yeah, I used to just be really, really knifey in Call of Duty. I just used to run around knifing people. I was never very good.
Yeah, I mean, it's just always fun because it's just like, it's a good stress reliever too.
Yeah,
like,
it was,
nothing
yeah.
to do. It's like, do I watch TV shows or shoot some people?
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice challenge for your brain as well. Like, it does keep you, it keeps you
on the motor skills. And,
yeah, exactly.
It's very...
All right, well, one more question.
Sure.
If you were a slug... And you could live anywhere in the world, where would you live?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I would probably live... If I was a slug.
Yeah, but like, you're a slug with your own mind, your own brain, but
probably
like...
the desert somewhere.
The desert?
The desert somewhere with maybe an oasis in...
So you're... Yeah.
Because like, you know, of course you had to stay away from salt. So no salty areas.
But the desert's going to be pretty salty. I mean, but if you're in the oasis, do you want to be alone then? Do you want to be alone in your slug lifestyle? So no other slugs can get to you because
you
have salt
oasis.
Pour
on me. I don't want to melt and
shit. No, of course. All right. Well, the desert. That's.
With an oasis.
With an oasis. Yeah, all right. Oasis. All right. Yeah. wicked. All right. Well, George, thanks a lot, mate.
Appreciate it, man.
Lovely stuff.
Good stuff. Thanks for having me.
Okay. That was George Yao. James, what did you think?
I loved it, you know. An inspirational guy, really.
I love to ask you your opinion after every interview because it's almost like you were there in the room. You were the guy who delivered the Wagamamas, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, precisely. Yeah, you know,
precisely. So we're not going to keep you for too long, because you probably got things to do, and now that Georgiou's gone, you don't want to listen to us prattle on. But we do just want to say, if you're enjoying the podcast and you've enjoyed the episode so far, please go on iTunes and leave us a review. Leave us a 5-star rating, or just, a little review, as I say. I mean, if you want to leave a bad one, do, but don't, please.
Don't do that. Don't do that. You know, give it a share.
Give it a share.
Tell some friends.
Tell some friends. We're at Going Shows on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Facebook.com/Going Shows. So, we've also just been added to Stitcher. So, if you're on Android and you don't like listening to things through SoundCloud, or maybe you don't want to go through SoundCloud on your browser and you want to download it, Stitcher is your one-stop shop for podcasts on Android. Obviously, we're on iTunes. Obviously, we're on SoundCloud. Thanks for listening this week. We've been going somewhere. Do you want to say bye, James?
Yeah. Bye, guys. I'll be back next week.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
T-shirts for your mind. Visit mindgardenapparel.com.